Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Genesis. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. Now here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing with our study in the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. We're at chapter 15, ready to begin with verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. After what things? There in chapter 14, we saw Abram leading his servants, over 300 in number, as an army against these kings that had captured Lot and his family and had taken from Sodom and Gomorrah the kings and all the other people as well. And we saw where Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, sustenance and joy, being the priest of the Most High God, and this priest Melchizedek blessed Abram. Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, he said, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And we saw that Abram, gave tithes to the king of Melchizedek, king of Salem. After those things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadamites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. We see in these verses 1 through 6 the promise of God to Abram. In verse 1, look at the promise of God, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. This chapter 15 introduces the Abrahamic covenant by which God promises an heir and eventual descendants, and these will one day possess the land of Canaan and much more. The word shield is given in many other passages as the word believed. I am thy faith, I am thy belief. Thus God is the object of Abraham's faith and thereby the source of his confidence. The promise of reward is especially significant in the view that the understanding, of course, that Abram's just refused the reward from the king of Sodom, but God himself promises a reward that he himself will give. So if we see this with the translation, I am thy faith and thy exceeding great reward, that is God as well as his shield and his great reward indeed. And then there's the prophecy of Israel's bondage in verses 7 through 17, and then the Lord's covenant with Abram, the Abrahamic covenant, in verses 18 through 21. Now we know that 10 years has passed from the time that Abram got out of the Ur of the Chaldees, from the call of God until now, it was about 10 years, but he still has no child, no heir. He suggested to God there in verses 2 through 5 that Eliezer of Damascus would be his legal heir, not his son now, but his legal heir. He was a steward, he was a servant. But God refused to accept that because he had clearly promised that there would be a child out of his own physical being, would be a biological child, not a steward, a servant, a slave, who would take on the mantle of adopted heir, but there would be a child from the physical being of Abram and his wife Sarai, soon to be called Sarah. God promised that the eventual descendants would be as many as the uncountable stars. And so he says here, look now toward heaven, verse 5, and tell the stars, that is, count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now verse 6 is a good one. Good one to remember, a good one to emulate for yourself. And he believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted that as righteousness. It was not an original act of faith here, but it was further evidence of his confidence in Almighty God. If we read Hebrews, and let's turn there if we may, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, the roll call of faith. And let's go to verses 8 through 10. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he, that is Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him for the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now if we go further, let's read about Sarah while we're here. Verse 11 and following, therefore is verse 12. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Now that's from Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 12, and it speaks of Abraham, who was journeying through his existence on earth by faith. And so here we are in Genesis 15, seeing what God shows as his estimate of Abraham because of his faith there in Hebrews chapter 11. So he believed in the Lord. Abraham had already, or Abram, had already received saving faith by this time, of course, we know. And we know that Abraham is mentioned in the New Testament often. In Romans 4, verse 6 and verse 22, we see instances of God's imputing righteousness to the account of those who've already been believers. Romans 4:18 refers to Abram's believing God's promise that he would have a posterity. So the doctrine of imputation is based upon believing God's promise, and it's based upon faith that mankind has in God. The fact that Abram was justified by God 14 years before he was circumcised is the basis for Paul's argument in Romans 4:9 through 12 that faith, not works, in this case not circumcision, is the means of our justification. The Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, teaches salvation by faith, not works. If we look then in verse 7 through verse 17, we see the prophecy of Israel's bondage, and we see also the fact of the cutting of the ram, the she-goat, the heifer. The turtle dove and the young pigeon were not cut, but the heifer, the she-goat, and the ram were all cut and laid one side against the other. And these were divided in the midst. Cutting a covenant conveys the idea the same will be done to the one who breaks the covenant. Ancient covenants were sometimes confirmed by having the sacrificial victims and the two parties of the covenant to pass between them. We see that in Jeremiah chapter 34. God alone passes between the animal pieces in the form of a smoking furnace and torch-like flame shooting out, because this covenant with Abram was unconditional. There were not two parties to the covenant, but only one party, and that party was God himself making the covenant for and on behalf of Abram. It was an unconditional covenant. It's to be carried out only by God himself. We see the promise of the sojourn of Abraham's children, the sojourn in Egypt that would result in their slavery, their bondage. It took place some 300 years after this covenant was made by God, and it was to last 400 years, and it was actually 430 years exactly, according to Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. And then we're told here that God would judge that nation that had taken them in as a stranger and had made them slaves. And that when the judgment would come, that Israel would come out with great substance, with many possessions. We know they did, of course. If you refer to Exodus chapter 12, verses 34 through 36, what you see there is the Israelites borrowing from their neighbors and taking it as spoil. They just borrowed it and left. They never did come back. And so God would judge that nation, and he did. And God used that as a means of judgment upon the inhabitants of Canaan when the iniquity of the Amorites would be full. Because here in verse 16, it says there has to be a fourth generation, and it came, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. It would take that up to that fourth generation for the iniquity to build up with the Amorites. Now, in the same day that the Lord God made a covenant with Abram, he said that he would give to the seed of Abraham the land from the river of Egypt, that is the Nile, to the great river, the river Euphrates. Talk about a territory now. That's a territory. Now, Sarai, verse 1 of chapter 16, Abram's wife bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Now, this is sinful. It's wrong. It wasn't what God had planned in the least, because he had planned for Abram and Sarai to have children. It was going to happen. But Sarai figured, oh, it's not going to be with me, so he might as well have sexual relations with my handmaid, and we will just call this child mine. It was like a surrogate marriage, if you will. It was a surrogate birth process. Not God's plan. Certainly not anything good can come of it, and we see that it won't. Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said to Abram, My wrong be upon thee, I have given my maid into thy bosom. When she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand, so do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Sounds to me like there's a problem here. So, there were customs of that day that were abominable, certainly an abomination before God, but it was legal, and it was in the marriage contract. If the number one wife can't have a baby with the husband can go to number two wife. And it was 10 years since God had promised this heir. So they took matters into their own hands, as it were. And Paul in Galatians 4 speaks of the works of the flesh and the product of the Spirit of God in verse 29. And Paul condemns what Abram and Sarai had done. We see in verse 7, And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain of the way to Shur. This is Hagar, who had fled from Sarai. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said to her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Laha Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old, that's 86, when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Now here he is, 86 years old. He's a dad by an illicit situation, but yet a dad nonetheless. And at 86, he's still called Abram, not Abraham, even though we will remember him as Abraham. And the angel of the Lord had to intervene in this situation between Hagar and Sarai. And in our next session, we will try to bring some light to that situation.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Blountville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Blountville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.